Today we're going to continue our study that we've been doing on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. In other words, verses that really stand out, that are noteworthy, that we want to look at and see what the Word of God is saying to us. I want us to pick up in Lamentation chapter 3, verses 22 to 23. Before we go there today, I want us to remind our listeners that this study, once it's completed, will be available to you on CD. And also, I want to remind our listeners to invite you to look at my website, to review my website, allthecounselofgod.com, allthecounselofgod.com. All right, now let's go to Lamentation chapter 3, verses 22 to 23. And the Word of God has this to say. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. My dear listeners, certainly the passage is well worth memorizing, is it not? It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. We need to remind ourselves of that every day. It's because of the Lord's mercy, his mercies, that we are not consumed. Amen. First of all, that we will not be consumed in the flames of hell. Because of his great mercy that he gave each and every one of us, his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, mercy is you and I getting something, amen, that we do not deserve. Amen. And it's because of his mercies that we're not consumed each day by the day's trials and tribulations. Amen. And because his compassions fail not. In other words, we can count on God's compassion each and every day to get us through the day. Amen. Human beings' compassion, they fail not. But we can trust that the Lord's compassions will not fail. Amen. And they are new every morning. What's new every morning? God's mercies and his compassion. For each day, he gives us the mercy and compassion that you and I need to get us through that day. And then great is thy faithfulness. Oh, yes, great is God's faithfulness. We can count on it. We can trust in it. Great was his faithfulness in providing his only begotten Son as a supreme sacrifice to pay for each one of our sins, past, present, and future. Great is his faithfulness. Yes, he is ever faithful, even though we're unfaithful. Amen. All righty, let's, again, we're in Lamentation chapter 3 and verse 27. The Word of God says, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. What we want to see is, the current world has its backwards thinking that youth should have an easy and fun-filled life, and then count on the government to keep them free from any yoke as they grow older. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Amen. Yes, the young must labor, as all of us must, to build a life for themselves and their families, amen? Not to live a life of ease, full of smartphones and tablets and notebooks, computers. No, but to labor, to learn a trade, amen? To make a living, amen? That's right, is it not? Let us continue here in Lamentation chapter 3, verse 38. The Word of God has this to say, my friends. Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good. You see, too many people think that bad things come from the devil, and only good things come from God. That's what the power of positive thinking, amen? So you see, Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny have done for us. The fact is that everything comes from God, be it good or evil. Amen. According to Job chapter 2, verse 10. In Isaiah chapter 45, verse 7. Sometimes even deception comes from God. According to Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 9. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 11. Again, we're in Lamentations chapter 3. Let's look at verse 51. The Word of God has this to say. Mine eye affecteth mine heart, because all the daughters of my city. What we want to see here is this. The fact that the eye affects the heart is a good piece of information. One's heart can't be kept right if his eyes aren't focused on the right things. Amen. I want us to turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 6 with me. In Matthew 6, I want us to look at verses 22 and 23. The Word of God has this to say. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Amen. Alrighty, now we're going to go and turn to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter 2. And we want to look at verses 3 through 8. Ezekiel 2, beginning in verse 3. He said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. For they are impudent children, and stiff-hearted, I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, it shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among the scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. So what we want to see in this passage is, this is a fine passage to bear in mind as we serve the Lord in these last days, because most people refuse to hear our message, yet we are to be faithful and deliver the message regardless of their attitude or actions. Amen. Now let's look at Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18. The Word of God says this, When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wickedness, or his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but the blood will I require at thine hand. What I want us to see here in our verse is the same thought as we read, as above in what we read in Ezekiel 2, 3 to 8, except Acts 20:26 can be added as a cross-reference. Acts 20:26. Let's take a look in Acts 20:26, what the Word of God has to say. And in Acts 20:26, we read this. Wherefore, this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the elders of Ephesus. He says, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. And the reason he can say that is, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 14. And in Ezekiel chapter 14 with me, verses 1 to 9. Amen. 1 through 9. Let's look at it together. Ezekiel 14, 1 through 9. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all of them, by them? Therefore speak unto me and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, Repent, and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man, and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet be deceived when he hath spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet, and will stretch out my hand upon him, and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. We touched on this, amen, at Lamentations chapter 3, amen, verse 38, amen, when we said that too many people think that bad things come from the devil, and only good things come from God. Amen? People who reject the truth, my friends, become candidates for deception. Now, what I want us to do is turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 with me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And look at what the Word of God has to say here in verse 11 with me. And for this cause shall God send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie. Amen. And God is the ultimate author of it. Amen. Look with me in 1 Kings. In the book of 1 Kings, in chapter 22, verse 23, we read this in the Word of God. Now there, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. And though you might allow the devil to carry out the order. Amen. So people who reject truth become candidates for deception. God is the ultimate author of it, although he might allow the devil to carry out the order. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 34, now in Ezekiel chapter 34 with me, and we see here verses 1 to 31, that whole chapter. What this chapter deals with with God's warning against the irresponsible shepherds of Israel, the leaders of the people. It's a great chapter for warning preachers to properly care for their people. The first charge is that they feed themselves instead of feeding the flock. If you had a dollar for every preacher in America who thinks his people can't handle certain Bible truths, you could pay off all your bills and maybe even retire. Verse 11. Let's look at verse 11 of Ezekiel 34. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. Amen. And this is a good cross reference to Luke chapter 19. Let's turn there. Luke chapter 19 with me, the Gospel of Luke 19. And look at verse number 10, what it says here. Luke 19:10, it says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So verse 11 makes a good cross reference, Ezekiel 34:11 to Luke 19:10, where Jesus comes to seek and save the lost. Now, let's turn our attentions to Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37 with me. And what I want us to see here, verses 1 through 14, the passage deals with the regathering of Israel to their God-given land in the last days. The breath given to the bones in verse 5 and 6 is the Spirit of God that Israel will receive upon being converted to Christ. Let's look at that. Ezekiel 37, verses 5 and 6. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. If the chapters are to be taken chronologically, amen, this means that Israel will be converted prior to the war with Russia and her Muslim confederates in Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39. Now, referring to Ezekiel 38 and 39, both chapters deal with the coming World War III that includes a Russian-led Muslim confederacy attacking Israel and then being dealt a devastating defeat. Amen? A devastating defeat. Look at Ezekiel 39 with me. We read this. Thus, therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. And I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thy arrows to fall out of thy right hand. And thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee, and I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, the supper of the great God, amen, here, and to the beast of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. I will send a fire on Magog and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name any more. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. So here we see that confederacy, that Russian-led Muslim confederacy tacting Israel will be dealt a devastating blow here. Now, Ezekiel chapters 40 to 48, these nine chapters describe the temple worship plan during the millennial kingdom that follows the regathering of Israel in Ezekiel 37 and Israel's victory in World War III in Ezekiel's chapters 38 and 39. Okay. All right, now we're going to move on to Daniel, the prophet Daniel. Now in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel 2, amen. In Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 through 39, we see that the whole chapter, that's right, the whole chapter lays out what the Lord Jesus labeled the times of the Gentiles in Luke chapter 21, verse 24. That begins with Babylon in 606 BC and continues under the rule of four major world powers until the whole system is destroyed at the second coming of Christ. Now let's look at Daniel 2 verses 40 and 45. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. And of course here it's talking about the millennial kingdom of Christ. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain in the interpretation thereof. And of course, this was the dream of Nebuchadnezzar of that great image that was made up, amen, of gold, silver, brass and iron and clay, amen. It's going to be destroyed when the Lord returns, amen. So we see then that we're even reminded of this in Revelation 11:2, where it says, but the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Amen. And then after that, it's a whole new ball game, is it not? The Lord returns. All right, Daniel chapter 3, in verse number 21, we read this, and then these men were bound in their coats, in their hosen, in their hats, in their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning, firing furnace. So here, the word hosen, I want you to see, is where we get the word hose, as in legwear. Amen. Daniel chapter 3, verse 25, Daniel 3:25. We read this, and he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. We see then the fourth man in the fire is the Son of God, unless you happen to be reading any other than a King James Bible. The new perversions have it a Son of God's in the fire. So let's turn to Daniel chapter 5 and verse 15, we read this, and now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not shew the interpretation of the thing. So, as the saying goes, they couldn't read the handwriting on the wall. Amen. That's where that expression comes from. Now, Daniel chapter 8, Daniel 8, verse 25. The Word of God says this: And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. Now the reference here is to the Antichrist in his mandatory idolatry. The craft of making and selling images that promote the beast will be a booming business. Amen. Let's look at Revelation with me. I want us to turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 13. And when we get to 13 of Revelation, we're going to look at verses 14 to 18. The Word of God says this: And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image, see, make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So we see they're going to be, the craft of making images is going to be promoted during that tribulation, amen, to promote the beast, amen. So we see, we go on and he says, And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is the wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, or 666. Now, in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, amen, what I want us to see is the passage deals with the timing of the crucifixion of Christ, the great tribulation, and the second coming. The term 70 weeks refers to 70 periods of 7 years each, totaling 490 years. The word weeks is used because there was no Hebrew word that meant seven. Since a week has 7 days, it was the next best word. The passage begins dating a dating system that starts with the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem in 445 BC and runs all the way through the Great Tribulation. This is the Jewish time. So the clock isn't running during the church age. It ran for 483 years. 7 weeks plus 62 weeks, a total of 69 7-year periods, and then Christ was crucified. The clock will remain stopped until the tribulation period begins and completes the last week, known as Daniel's 70th week. So, Daniel 24, we read, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision of the prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem under the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city, and the sanctuary and end thereof shall be with the flood, with a flood until the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblations to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until consummation that determined shall be poured upon the desolate.